Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Monday morning here. Welcome in. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Todd Sylvester, I'm Ellen Taylor. Mike Romano, Reed Hodges are here. Max came today to be in the studio.
Woohoo!
You can see him on the Facebook live cams, walking around making people pet him between conversations. It's what week of Lent, Todd? Third?
Yep.
Okay, third week of Lent. Hopefully it's going good. We've got our Lenten mission over here at St. Lawrence the next couple days. Father Pat Driscoll. Friend of the show, gave a shout out to Archangel Radio yesterday when he was giving his homily. Always grateful. And so I'm sure there's a lot of parishes that have a Lenten mission, and maybe this is just what you need midway through your Lent.
Amen.
To keep going.
Amen. Plus you get a plenary indulgence if you go to the entire mission.
All three?
Yeah, and get to the Sacrament of Reconciliation.
Okay, that's...
I'm just throwing that out there.
I know. I mean, I was committing to as many days as I can. I didn't know if I had all three on my calendar.
I would adjust the calendar, personally.
I know. St. Casimir.
Woohoo!
As I said before the show, Todd, you didn't use that name. You had 10 kids. You didn't use Casimir.
There's something special about Poland, though.
Yes.
I mean,
a monarch.
Poland, God, some rockin' Catholics come out of Poland.
Yeah, and we don't have too many saints that are like monarchs, because I think that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, because you're sitting there and everyone
giving everything.
Your royalty,
And
then you're like, but I need to humble myself.
That's a challenge. So we'll pray for his intercession.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to serve you is to reign. Grant that with the help of St. Casimir's intercession, we may constantly serve you in holiness and justice. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Eastern Shore Urgent Care, Daphne, offering walk-in medical attention for minor emergencies and illnesses. Open 7 days a week. Visit them on Urgent Care Drive across from Lowe's or contact them at 251-626-3782 or at esucare.com.
News headlines for Monday, March 4th. Speaking in his Angelus address on March 3rd, the Pope made an emotional plea for negotiations to reach a deal that both frees the hostages immediately and grants civilians access to humanitarian aid. I carry daily in my heart with sorrow the suffering of the peoples in Palestine and Israel due to the ongoing hostilities, the Pope said. Also, the United States has began airdropping aid into Palestine now, and they have begun that process over the weekend.
Like the Berlin airlift.
Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley won her first GOP presidential nomination contest Sunday, notching a victory in the D.C. primary, NBC News projects, and a win that her campaign hopes will spark some momentum ahead of next week's Super Tuesday contest. Alabama's primary will take place tomorrow.
Wait, do they have any electoral votes?
I think they, I think I read like 17 or something. I don't know how it works there.
No.
I thought I read that. Continue, Reed.
The European Union leveled its first antitrust penalty against Apple on Monday, fining the U.S. tech giant nearly $2 billion for breaking the bloc's competition laws after it unfairly favored its own music streaming service over rivals. And in sports, on Sunday, in her last regular season home game, Iowa ladies basketball star Caitlin Clark passed LSU and NBA legend Pete Maravich for the most points scored by a Division I basketball player. And the total was 3,667, and she actually needed every single point to take down number 2 Ohio State yesterday, but it was a little bit anticlimactic because she took the all-time college scoring record on a technical free throw. And then lastly, Chris Mortensen, an award-winning journalist who reported on the NFL for ESPN for more than 3 decades, died Sunday morning at the age of 72, his family announced.
Okay. Thanks for that happy news, Reed, to kick off this Monday.
You're very welcome.
People die every day. They die every
I know,
day.
But are you ready to die?
That's actually a very valid question.
See?
Unfortunately, over the weekend, I'll tell you, God is just wrecking me this Lent, and
I
it's
thought you
awesome.
Said, best Lent ever, you said last week.
You're missing the point.
Oh, okay.
That's really good.
Okay.
Because my heart is, I think, far more connected than it's been before. But it means that, let me explain.
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of mine came to me, and we were talking about something, and then mm-hmm. he said, so-and-so is not going to church anymore.
Uh-huh.
Say a prayer for him. And I went, really? Because it's someone I've known for a really long time,
mm-hmm.
and good, solid, great career, marriage, family, the whole thing, and they're not going to church. And I said, well, why? Why are they not going to church? And he said, well, because his wife used to be Protestant, she did convert, but she really misses all of the amenities that those churches have.
Uh-huh.
And I recognize that, y'all. I'm not saying that we should all be in burlap and kneel on rice in our churches, but I think we have to take a step back. And this is when I was praying for him, this is what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
What did for the first 3 centuries, what were people saying yes to when they were converting to Christianity?
And probably martyrdom.
Well, at least that was on the plate.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like you were saying yes to no facilities.
Yeah.
There wasn't a church for 300 years. I mean, you have to realize that. What were you saying yes to? You were saying yes to the person of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying yes to the reality that he died on a cross to save us and that he really did rise from the dead. There's no make-believe and rewriting history. He really rose from the dead, and he's really seated at the right hand of the Father. When we say the creed, those are the things that they were saying yes to, and there was no amenities. There was no coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
When you first came in, or a kids' play area,
yes.
or this nice group study. Now, all of those things, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying if that's what you're seeking, then you're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing what we're really saying yes to. So I had a conversation with a priest last night about this, and I said, listen, you can burn the church to the ground, and I'm still coming.
Mm-hmm.
You can take away everything, all of the stuff that makes me comfortable. Shut down the air conditioning system. And I know some of you are like, I don't want to go to a church that doesn't have AC. It's like, well, they did for centuries, y'all.
Yes.
I think we've gotten too comfortable. We're too comfortable. And that's the problem. And then because we're comfortable, then we start looking for the different comforts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. To your point, I don't know how you get past that because a lot of people's worldview today is the comforts are the church.
Yeah.
And they've wrapped it all together and put a big bow on it. And this is what makes me comfortable when I go worship God.
Right.
Rather than I'm going to crawl across glass to worship you, God.
Yeah.
That kind of philosophy.
Or I'll risk my life.
Yeah.
I mean, which is just as you said, and I think those early Christians, they had to know that. They had to know. It's like, well, when we use the term Roman candle, I mean, we think, the little firework, but we don't understand the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
They took Christians and they tied them up and they tarred their bodies and set them on fire. That was the Roman candle. That's where the term comes from. I mean, you had to understand that if you were saying yes to Christ, you were risking your life.
So I guess the question is, how do we get back to that fervor.
Eucharistic revival.
Well.
No, I mean, that's absolutely, Absolutely. I talked with my 15-year-old son about this because I asked him. I said, man, it just seems like God has really grabbed your heart and you're going after him with everything that you are. And you're only 15 years old. What's going on? He goes, well, Dad, it's the Eucharist. Where else am I going to go?
Yeah.
Where else am I going to go? What church has anything to offer that compares to the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ?
Well, for me, nothing. I agree with you there. I think that is the heart and soul. And you hear so many stories about conversion or reversion based on the Eucharist and what it truly means, and people that have made that journey and recognized that and found themselves, in the back of the Catholic Church, just first sitting and then moving forward a little bit and all of those things to get involved in community. But to go back to your first part of what attracts you to a church, I think there's always this balance of community and worship. And, you know, in Catholic worship, the Catholic Mass is the pinnacle of our worship, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Others don't have that because they've put some of the other stuff in place. And not that their hearts are there, but they're missing the fundamental pinnacle of it. So everything will just kind of be striving towards that. I've said to you off the air, you know, we pray for the church to be one as Christ asked us to and wanted it to be, that some days I just envision, Todd, when all of us are one again, and that vibrancy and that love of community are some things that some of our other churches, non-Catholic, we look at and go, man, they do that good. They got a really good youth program. They got that. When all of that is fundamentally brought back in to where it should be in the worship of God in the Catholic Mass, that's going to be an amazing, amazing time.
It will be.
Yeah.
I mean, every morning, the morning offering, I pray for the reunion of all Christians.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
We want that all together. Uh-huh. But even with that, honestly, though, so I think some things they're just going to have to let go of.
Yeah.
Because it is that, and this is going to sound critical, but we had a funeral where the majority of the people there were not Catholic.
Okay.
And it was obvious that they weren't Catholic because they came in and they treated the nave of the church like it was just a meeting hall.
Right. Yeah.
They walked in with their coffees. They walked in, you know, just chit-chatting, talking full volume.
Uh-huh.
And it was hard because you don't want to be rude.
Shush, shush.
But you're like, hey, we don't normally bring coffee into this part of the church. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, everybody was cool about it.
Right, yeah.
But it's just one of those things where there are some things that they are going to have to change.
Well, that's what the parish hall is for, Todd.
Well,
you have the coffee over
right,
there.
Right, yeah. Right. And but
Knights of Columbus are making the pancake breakfast. You know, it all comes together. But the space for worship is for worship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the focus is something where I think we have to get to that understanding of this is the gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he is giving to us. And it's amazing. It's utterly amazing. You know, I had the blessing of going over to Outback Saturday evening.
Right.
And it was a wonderful gathering. It's not even fair how I get to go and I give a talk and then I was singing and I'm looking around and I'm like, this is fantastic. Well, our sound guy was not Catholic.
Uh-huh.
And first time I had ever met him. But beforehand we were talking a little bit. And then afterwards he came up to me. He goes, man, he goes, I had one experience of Catholics before this.
Uh-huh.
And it pretty much followed what I'd been told about Catholics.
Right,
so I don't know what the details were for
the
first experience that he had. But he goes, this was really different.
Wow.
This was really different. And he goes, it was really good for me to be here and experience this. And I said, I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful that you were here. If you want to say a prayer for him, his name is Stephen, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have to realize that the way to bring people in is we have to live incredibly holy lives.
Yeah.
Because that's what's attractive. In the early church, since they weren't inviting them into any of the things that now we try to use to invite people,
Right.
You know, I had a cousin one time that was telling me, well, we're church shopping. You know, we moved to a new area and we're church shopping. That's the term she used.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, that makes sense to me because you're going to go, all right, do we like the preaching? Do we like the music? Do we like the architecture? Do we like how comfortable the pews are? Do we like not only the coffee shop? Do they have hazelnut? Because I love hazelnut. I mean, these are the things that we're looking for. So going back to the early church, they had none of that. So what was attractive? It was the holiness of the people that were inviting them into that faith. They were living it. Mm-hmm. They were living it. And that's what's attractive. That's what we need, is we literally need saints.
Well, and there's no better time than the start of the third week of Lent. Yeah. That if your Lent is not all that, or you're thinking, I'm just plodding through, you know, going through the motions, checking the boxes, maybe it's time to dive a little bit deeper into Lent and pray on some of these things.
The danger of just checking the boxes, and again, I am not trying to point fingers, because for all I know, I could have been part of this, but let's go back to the guy, Stephen, the sound guy. Mm-hmm. He had some kind of experience that was ho-hum, that was drab.
Right. Okay?
And he saw that as like, all right, this is what Catholicism
is. In its entirety.
Is. Right. Okay. And that's how he judged it. All right. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to put forth the church as something that, oh yeah, that's what Catholics do. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, it might be that we're really living the Catholic faith and worshiping authentically, and they still judge it. That's kind of on them. But I don't want to give them a pass. I don't want to give them the right to not be invited into the fullness of this life. I want to live so authentically, you know, like when I first got to Outback, man, they have this beautiful monstrance. I don't know where it's from, but they use a 6-inch host. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then I was up in the front pew of the little chapel praying beforehand, preparing, and tears just streaming down my face. And a guy comes in to tell me something just about the schedule. He goes, I just wanted to know, they're going to do a sound check, blah, blah. I said, no problem. And I turned towards him and he goes, you're crying. I said, how could you not cry? Mm-hmm. I'm like, look at him. So then he starts tearing up. And I'm like,
oh, now you're making other men cry.
Right.
Oh.
But listen,
okay,
this is important. Okay. We have to live this. We have to live this life. I mean, live it because it's real. And that's how it gets shared.
I would also add that a life well lived, like the life you are describing, bathed in holiness, people in community, that all of those other things that are attracting people to other churches would manifest themselves in some ways in a truly authentic Christ-first church. So that people that would think, well, I can't go there because they don't have this kind of, and I like my Thursday morning Bible study and I like all this. All of that, when authentic people get together and live to be saints, strive to be saints, all those things will come out of it as the fruits of it.
Yeah.
And we talk about good fruits. A tree cannot bear, you know, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. I mean, so you have to be conscious, you have to be holy first, and then from that, other things will manifest itself themselves out.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, I hope we got everyone off to a good week. I don't know where that conversation came from.
Woohoo!
Dr. Chris Rems joined the show, 40 Days for Life event. They got something going on. I think it's this week. He's going to give us details next. Stay with us.
Then my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
And I choose a life, and I choose a life. I choose to be that sacrifice.
Welcome back, LA Catholic Morning, on this Monday. On the line with us is Dr. Chris Ram. He's involved with 40 Days for Life. You can connect with them at 40daysforlife.com/mobile. Good morning, Dr. Ram. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing very well, thank you. I hope y'all are as well.
We can't complain. We are thriving in Lent here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Since I had the blessing of seeing you Saturday
week.
Also.
Yeah. Oh, yes. The Outback was phenomenal, Todd, and your talk was great as always. And just really, you know, that mountaintop over there, it's hard. You just don't ever want to come off it. And Camp Grace was great. And, of course, we're in the middle of Lent, and which means we're in the middle of our, I think, 29th campaign now, Todd. We started this back in 2009 here in Mobile, May, and I did with goodness gracious, it was seems like just yesterday. But at any rate, it's now in the 29th campaign, and thank God that abortion clinic is closed now here. And you know that the thing that was personal about that is it was in my parish. It was in Corpus Christi Parish. But, you know, it's closed now, but that doesn't mean that the fight and struggle is over. We still have a long way to go. And, of course, this 40 Days for Life campaign is all of Lent. It's Ash Wednesday, not quite all of Lent, just right till Palm Sunday's when we have our closing rally. And that will be at, you know, outside the Women's Resource Center with the Burns Brothers on the with their live music, and they probably will do karaoke. You know how that goes in the South. But at any rate, tonight's a big event. We have Dr. Haywood Robinson coming in, and he's going to be a speaker. And the interesting thing is that he was an abortionist. He and his wife both were abortionists, you know, for many years, and then had a conversion. You know, they both went to Southern California medical school. He and his wife were trained to be abortionists and were doing many abortions. But in the late 80s, he had a conversion. In 1986, he found God and his salvation. And now he's just become a very passionate pro-life advocate and is even the director of medical affairs and education for 40 Days for Life. Wow. So we're very, very privileged and honored to have him tonight at Corpus Christi, which will have some, it says light refreshments. They're not going to be light. They're going to be, Tad's Coastal Kitchen's going to have some goodies that are going to be quite heavy. And then there's going to be other goodies as well, some cheese and finger foods and all. But there's going to be some substantial food there for anybody that comes hungry. And then at 6:30, we will have the talk, and we're looking forward to seeing him. I'm going to have the privilege of having lunch with him today, so I get the little pre-meeting visit with him. But, you know, we also have been very active yesterday. We had the Polar Plunge fundraiser, which was the Leap for Life, and my pastor, Father Pat Ansberg, along with the middle schoolers at Corpus Christi, raised money, and they jumped in the pool in my old backyard, which is my daughter Jennifer Rempor, who is now the director of 40 Days for Life Mobile. She took that over after May's unfortunate passing, and she's done a great job with that, and she's bringing a lot of youthful ideas and doing things like this. Like, you know, I would have never thought to have a, you know, have our priest jump in the pool in our backyard. But at any rate, they raised money to help pay for this event tonight. And this event is free. It's free of charge. So anyone that would, you know, would come, anybody that would like to come, you know, please feel welcome to come. We'll be in the family room at Corpus Christi. But, you know, I think the big thing now, right now, with the abortion clinic closed, we still do have our vigils. And for those not familiar with 40 Days for Life, you know, there's three components. There's prayer and fasting and almsgiving, which is the first component. The clinic vigil, which is the second, and not everybody can participate in that, but everybody can participate in prayer, alms, and fasting, upon almsgiving. And then there's the community outreach, which is, this is my small contribution to doing community outreach here this morning with you. And I really do appreciate y'all having us on to talk about this important issue. Of course, tomorrow's election day, so there's voting tomorrow. And, you know, the bishops of the United States, you know, North American Council of Bishops still say that abortion is the preeminent issue of the day. And so, you know, check your candidates, and, you know, let's vote on the issues, and please make that first and foremost vote for candidates who are pro-life and who support the dignity of the human life from conception to natural death. That's such an important thing to do, and I think a good civic and community service. But, you know, I think we're looking forward to a good talk tonight, and, you know, hopefully we'll get a lot of people out there to hear what Dr. Robinson has to say. And it's really good to have someone who can talk from both sides. It's kind of like, you know, when Abby Johnson had her conversion and, you know, she wrote the book on play and had the movie, we got to see. And for me, that was a very eye-opening experience, because to me, I had always had this, you know, feeling that anybody that's for abortion, they're just evil. And they just, how could you be for abortion and not be evil? But, you know, through Abby Johnson, I had a conversion and learned that there's a lot of just confused people on the other side that think they're doing good, but they don't realize that they're not respecting, you know, God's plan for our lives, and that each and every life is precious and it has dignity that's not connected to what they do, how much money they make, and who they know. That dignity comes from our Creator, the Lord Himself, and that should be respected from them and protected from the moment they're conceived until the moment they die, hopefully a natural death.
So if someone is coming to the talk tonight, you said, okay, the doors open for the refreshments at 6 p.m. at Corpus Christi, and the talk
Correct.
Starts at 6:30. Where exactly is it tonight, Chris, at
it's,
Corpus?
It's 6300 McKenna Drive, for those who are familiar with Corpus. 6300 McKenna Drive, it's, you know, off Airport Boulevard, West Mobile. You know, you can take Hillcrest Road at the power company. And if you're coming from the east, hang a right. If you're coming from the west, hang a left at Hillcrest Road. The next street is McKenna Avenue and McKenna Drive. And you'll drive down, and before the street turns and curves back up to Airport, there's a big campus there, which is the church and the school, which is my beloved Corpus Christi Parish. And we're very blessed to have Father Pat Ahrensberg as a pastor, and you know, it's a great parish, and we're pleased that we're able to have, and thankful to Father Pat for allowing us to have Hayward Robinson there tonight, Dr. Hayward Robinson.
I think I was sorry. I was looking for even more detail than that.
Like, what building?
Yeah, my daughter, as okay. you know, was married there. But if I drove up,
you're
going to
come
Corpus,
into
the,
yeah, right. You're going to come into the atrium. You're going to come in. So there's a set of doors there, and on the left, those doors go into the church. And on the right, those doors go into a large atrium, and then you've got the parish community center there. And if you go into that atrium, that's where the refreshments will be. And if you come in, you will see everybody in that atrium.
Oh,
that's where
okay.
they're going to be
right.
during the refreshments.
Do what I do, Todd. I just wait in my car to see where people are walking
well,
to,
I was,
and then I get out and follow
I was
them.
Worried when it said education room. I'm like, wait, is it over in the school? Like, because I don't have any familiarity over there. But as soon as you said the atrium, oh, we're good. We're gold.
Yes. It's the family education room, which is right there off the atrium to the left.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you got the community center, the bathrooms, and then the family education room.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
And then you work your way, keep going left, you'll get to the church.
All right.
But and by the way, we do have a new crucifix in the church, which is beautiful. So if you haven't been there lately, you'll see. I think we have the new crucifix, which I believe Father Pat brought from his old parish, was old St. Joseph Church on Spring Hill Avenue, which most everything there went to St. Ignatius. And, oh, gosh, is that a beautiful church or what? But the crucifix, I think, is at our church now at Corpus, and we're glad to have it. It's beautiful.
We're speaking with Dr. Chris Ram about 40 Days for Life, 40daysforlife.com/mobile. Chris, I got to ask you, because you mentioned that the abortion clinic here in Mobile is not doing surgical abortions anymore. Are they still participating, like, in chemical abortions and getting pills out? Is that still a battle that we're having? And how could maybe our listeners understand what is going on with that part of the abortion cycle? So
that's a great question. That's a great question. It really cuts to the meat of the problem now. We've got chemical abortion that they're actually trying to get to do mail order.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to see a doctor at all. It's, kind of like these Hims commercials you see on TV or whatever, that Hims or Hers, you know, you just call a number and get it. And if anyone saw the movie Unplanned, that was a chemical abortion that Abby Johnson had in that movie. And look how what she went through. And it's a very dangerous combination of medications that cause a lot of hemorrhage. And if they're not prepared, and of course, the abortion clinic is not going to take care of them. They're going to have to go to a hospital to hopefully save their life if they have a bad reaction like Abby did. But the abortion clinic here, to answer your question directly, is closed. There is no one there. It used to have a sign on the door that said temporarily closed. The sign in the front yard is still there, and I'm just waiting and praying for the day that that just gets lifted up and is gone. And I would love that place to be a pro-life business or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's across the street from Chuck E. Cheese. And, of course, the Women's Resource Center is right across the street as well, where Marty Carroll and that group do such a wonderful job. And our own 2B Pregnancy Center down on Florida Street does a great job. And so, you know, we try to support them. We try to, you know, raise money and supplies for them. We collect goods in the back of the church at Corpus that we take down there weekly. And so, you know, they are doing God's work at those places. And, of course, you know, Sherry Sims does a great work over in Spanish Fort at her Women's Center there. So we're just honored and privileged to be able to work with people that are doing such great things for women. And, you know, it's really about life and protecting life and respecting life in women is really what 40 Days is all about. And if you think about it, you know, if we all really just took a pro-life stance and really just decided to live a pro-life cultured life, there would be no problems in the world, quite honestly. I mean, you know, it would be heaven in my view. So, you know, if everyone respected life from conception to natural death, I think that not only would the world be a lot, you know, happier place, it'd be a safer and a lot more pleasant place to live. So, you know, respect is a huge thing. And, you know, thank God we still have our Catholic schools that I think do a great job of teaching that. And, you know, respect for one another and respect for property. That's just kind of basic, isn't it?
It is. And I don't know if people, if their first question is, what is the best thing for everyone involved in this situation? Because unfortunately, Chris, we're selfish. We're selfish people. So sometimes we're looking at it like, how can we get what we want out of these particular situations? You know, anything that we're talking about, any encounters that we have. But that's what kind of makes it where Christ is saying, hey, you need to deny yourself. You need to pick up your cross and you need to follow me, which means the first thing that I should be asking is what's best for everyone that's involved that I can help with? What's the best thing that I can do for you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that's the first question we ask, Chris.
Well, it's not. I don't think a lot of times, Todd, and I'm certainly guilty of it myself. And Pat Ahrensburg, you know, not Father Pat, but his uncle Pat Ahrensburg, did a great mission at Corpus Christi. Matter of fact, I think tomorrow night's the last of his three Lent missions he's doing there. But one thing he said that really struck home with me is that he gave a talk on prayer life, and he said that what really turned his prayer life around was when he really just concentrated and said, Lord, help me desire that your will becomes my will, that I surrender myself and desire your will for me. And, you know, you really think that that's even more basic. I mean, if we just would surrender to God's will for us, I mean, we would be a pro-life people, right?
Amen.
Yeah. It's so easy to just nod your head and say, yeah, yeah, they're doing good work. But
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm busy over here. But I think maybe Lent, and what I love about 40 Days for Life is that it can remind us these couple times a year that you do this, that this is a profound issue in our culture. And it's going to just take more than just us nodding our heads. Oh, yeah, they're doing good stuff over there. Not working against it, but not really actively working for it. And whether it is just praying for it, whether it's contributing,
that's right,
some almsgiving, in these court cases, all kinds of things going on, caring for women that choose to keep their children, really informing young women about these chemical abortions, because I think that is going to be your next big hurdle, Chris, is that it goes unseen. There won't be a building to go pray outside of, because it will be coming in the mailbox, and that is really going to be something we're going to have to fight for.
Well, this hot political issue right now is in vitro fertilization, right? I mean, that's a thing that's really in the press right now. And there again, that the really, you know, the basic, the crux of the church's stance on that is you are treating life as a commodity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're collecting and doing things outside of God's plan for how life is created to, and taking money to do it, by the way, and collecting all these embryos that are being stored in liquid nitrogen. I mean, it's, you know, and so that is not how God planned, you know, and what the church is saying. The church is not saying that any person that was, you know, that came through IVF is no, all persons are good. All persons are good. But what I think, and this is just my opinion because I'm not a theologian or a canon lawyer by any stretch, but what the church is saying is that you've got all these other things. One, you know, you're taking God's hand out of it is the main thing. And two, you're having all these embryos out there, which are, in our view, people. Once you fertilize an egg with sperm, that's a person from that moment of conception. And, you know, that to handle that as a commodity to be stored and sold or whatever is... it's just not very dignified. So, you know, I mean, I know it. I pray for couples who are struggling to have children, and I know, you know, adoption is difficult sometimes, but there are options. And, you know, I know people who went through adoption and then had a child. And I could name them, but I'm not going to do it on the radio. But, you know, they struggled, adopted a child, and later had their own children, had children naturally. So, you know, it's all these issues. And like you say, it's just every situation you're in, it's kind of like, you know, what would Jesus do? The old bracelet the Protestants brought us. What is God's plan in this situation? What would he want me to do? What is the pro-life aspect of this particular equation that I'm entering into right now? Mm-hmm. And, you know, to live a pro-life life is not easy. The Christian life is not easy. I can't remember the G.K. Chesterton quote, but it's not that people, you know, don't like Christianity or whatever. They just find it hard.
Right.
Just to paraphrase it.
Dr. Chris Rem, there is the music. Go see their speaker, Dr. Haywood Robinson, tonight at Corpus Christi.
Thank y'all.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks so much. Man, what passion he's got.
Amen.
Oh, coming up, Joel Stefanik. We're going to talk about the Eucharistic Revival. Stay with us.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, Mike the Great, and Reed. On the line is Joel Stefanik. He is the Vice President of Programming and Administration for the National Eucharistic Congress, here to talk to us about the Eucharistic Pilgrimage. Good morning, Joel.
Hey, good morning. It's good to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. So, Eucharistic Pilgrimage. This is Catholic Radio, so we're all in.
Oh, yeah, we're like, looking at the map.
That's all you had to do is say, Eucharistic Pilgrimage, and we're all about it.
I love it. I love it. It's going to be an incredible 8 weeks this summer.
Wow. I was talking to someone last week, and I'm like, I haven't seen where it's going. I know it's coming through the Archdiocese of Mobile. But tell us first the four routes, what this is, and then we can dive down the specifics because people in our area will want to know.
Oh, yeah. So on May 19th, there are going to be four groups of people that start on four points of the United States. The Sarah route is going to start in San Francisco on the West Coast. The Marian route is going to start in Bemidji, Minnesota, in the northern route. The eastern route, the Seton route, is going to start in New Haven, Connecticut. And then our southern route, the Juan Diego route, is going to start in Brownsville, Texas. And at each of these routes, six young adults, two priests, and two seminarians are going to be walking with Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament across the country through numerous cities, numerous dioceses, numerous states, thousands of miles, and they are all going to arrive after an eight-week in Indianapolis, Indiana, for the 10th National Eucharistic Congress. And over that period of time, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, are going to encounter our Lord in the streets, in their neighborhoods, in their downtown areas, in the Blessed Sacrament, as he makes his way through our country towards the National Eucharistic Congress. I am just thrilled that this is happening. And I'm excited because I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Like, I know what's going to happen with the events, but I don't know what our Lord is going to do. I know it's going to be big and probably way bigger than anything I could anticipate. But that's the real high-level overview of what this thing is going to be. But how it all unfolds as far as what the Lord's going to do, that's the exciting thing.
Whose idea was this? I mean, this is so daunting just when you talk about the logistics of it. This is incredible, Joel.
Yeah, it's early on in the planning process of the Eucharistic revival. I think the right people were in the room who were being responsive to the Holy Spirit. It is a big idea. And we had an incredible team that has worked to coordinate the logistics of it. And so much of it really has been grassroots with every single diocese along the way. So there's been real excitement about this. But I have to commend, one, the team of folks that put together the logistics for the event and coordinated it all. But two, the local diocese have really come along and said, all right, like, we'll plan the events, we'll bring the people together, we'll make sure that we're getting the permits. It's been incredible.
So what kind of planning comes into place? So it will be a procession, because I'm looking, it's going to be, when I look in our area, because we are in Mobile and Lower Alabama, so you're going to come through Louisiana and then hit Mississippi, the Diocese of Biloxi, and then do you know what the plans are in our area, in the Mobile area?
Yeah, I mean, there are some incredible plans, you know, in every single route. If anybody wants to go check things out, you can go to eucharisticpilgrimage.org, and that website actually has an interactive map, so you're able to find, you know, all of the events that are happening in any state, which is pretty incredible. And then you can select, you know, your route and take a look at specific events that are happening and then even register for those particular events, you know, as you go through. So even if you go to the map and you check things out, you know, Mobile, Alabama, you're able to take a look at all of the different events that will be taking place there.
June 14th through 17th. That's what it says on the website for our listeners.
All right. So I'm a geeky Catholic, Joel, big time. Uh-huh. So my question is a weird one. Are they like matching monstrances? Are you guys using processional canopies? Like, what's this going to look like?
That is one of the – I love that you're asking that nerdy question because I had to work through all of that. So we have – for our major processions, we have all four routes do have matching monstrances. When we are in a diocese and we're doing a procession, which we're calling a major procession, which would be like at a parish. So maybe we're there on a Sunday and after Mass, we do a procession, you know, 1 mile around the neighborhood where the parish is located. We've got a large monstrance for that, a canopy for that, a couple of processional torches for that, you know, big candles that we'll walk with. So all of this bells and bells. The other cool thing, because you are a nerdy Catholic, I will tell you, is that we have from an Italian shoemaker, like harnesses built to help priests carry the monstrance like a long distance.
Nice.
So, you know, because like these monstrances can be heavy, these are very beautiful, white, to blend in with the humeral veil. You wouldn't even notice the priest has them, but it will help him carry that monstrance a long distance. So we have a canopy, larger monstrances for those major processions, and then a smaller monstrance, a little bit lighter, for the priest to carry, and an umbrellino, which is a small little umbrella for when we're just processing with Lord down the country roads and the country highways, and we're out, and it's not a major procession, you know, with hundreds of people at a parish, but we're walking from place to place.
See, that is so cool, Joel. I was just sharing earlier in the program that I had an encounter with an individual who's not Catholic, who said he had one encounter with Catholics that was kind of, you know, what he expected. But then Saturday night we had Eucharistic adoration and music, and it was just powerful, very strong presence of the Holy Spirit. And he goes, wow, that was not what I was expecting. So I'm thinking that's what the plan is for all of this, right, Joel?
Yeah, and that's why it's so grassroots. That's why we're taking the Lord out in the streets. I think about all of those routes, and I think about different groups of people. There's going to be folks like you and I who see the monstrance and know immediately. And it's going to be a cool, like, wow, Jesus just showed up in my day. Then there's going to be people who, I think about kids who went to a youth conference in high school where Eucharistic adoration was a part of that, but maybe they've fallen away and life's paths have taken them maybe further from the church. You know, the Lord's never been far from them, but maybe they've been kind of far. And that moment of seeing the monstrance, they're going to have all of those memories of that first encounter with Jesus come back, and he's going to use that moment to draw them back in to the church. I think about people who that day woke up and said, Lord, just send me a sign. You know, if you're real, send me a sign. And suddenly the sign is there. And then just people who will be curious and ask questions. That's part of why we have these pilgrims on the route, is if people say, what are you guys doing? They can answer and witness and evangelize a little bit. And people are going to have it's Jesus. They're going to feel something different in that moment. And I think that's why I say I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know the Lord's going to move in a powerful way to capture people's hearts and start to draw them close to him.
Well, and it's also important for us as Catholics to be completely honest about what's going on, because, you know, even with that encounter that I had with the young man, I said, listen, this is either the most incredible thing that you can experience, or literally it's idolatry. Like, there's no in between, people. I know some people get uncomfortable. They're like, oh, don't say that. Don't talk about it. No, either we're worshiping bread. That's idolatry. Like, that's silly, almost comical. Or that's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. And it's the most amazing thing that you can encounter in the course of the day. So I'm hoping, Joel, that exactly what you're saying is just going to have a tremendous impact on countless people.
Yeah, there's nothing subjective about this, right? I mean, it is or it isn't, and if it isn't, I mean, we're all in for it when we die. But the beauty is it is Jesus. You know, this is our Lord. And yeah, it's going to be incredible. We're very excited.
You're going to, first of all, I think the people out west have the hardest. They got to walk the longest. I saw that on the map.
Looking at
pointing
the map.
That out. Are you going to have updates like on the website so we can follow each of the pilgrimages as they're going across? Because, of course, we'll see ours here. We're blessed that it's going to pass through the Archdiocese of Mobile. But you're going to big cities like New York and Washington and Chicago, Salt Lake City, Utah, maybe places people don't encounter Eucharistic adoration. So will there be the opportunities to follow this?
There will be. So you'll be able to follow along visually on our social media accounts. So we have a Facebook page, we have an Instagram account. So if people are on those platforms, those are places you can follow now and get updates on the revival and the Congress. But when the pilgrimage kicks into full gear, you'll be able to see video clips and pictures and updates from the pilgrims there. And then there will be a spot on our website where we'll provide updates every week with some pictures and some notes about what's happening and just sharing the glory of God that is going to be occurring on those particular routes. So those are three places on our website, Facebook, and our Instagram that you can find updates on this when everything kicks off the weekend of May 17th, 18th, and 19th.
I got to ask, what's your Instagram? Do you know off the top of your head? Eucharistic?
Yeah, Eucharistic Revival.
Okay, that's the one.
And then it all ends where again?
Everything comes to its finale in Indianapolis on July 16th, the day before the National Eucharistic Congress. So all of the pilgrims will arrive in the city, and then they will all converge on St. John the Evangelist Church, which is right in downtown, right across from Lucas Oil Stadium and the Indiana Convention Center. And there will be a final closing mass there. And then right now there's some unique things in the works that aren't completely finalized, but there may be some cool things that happen that evening as well. We'll have to wait and see on that one.
Oh, that's a teaser
That's the teaser, but there's some cool things that are possible. But it's going to be incredible. And then the next day, the National Eucharistic Congress kicks off.
That's awesome. Joel, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Eucharistic Pilgrimage.org. Check it out. Follow them for good things headed into this Congress. We thank our sponsor, Anna Luz with Roberts Brothers Realty, top 10 in 2023. Let Anna get you moving forward in the greater Mobile Bay Area with your next home. Go to annaluz.robertsbrothers.com or call 251-454-2782. Mike, what's happening tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow, Father Pat Driscoll talks about how to get better at recognizing your blessings. Father Tad Paholchik discusses the embryo personhood ruling, and we'll talk with Tim Furnish about his article, America Invaded.
I can't wait to talk to Father Tad tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I don't
IVF
think there's a
thing.
Solution.
Well, yours was stop doing it.
Well, no, but then what do you do with all those kids?
I don't know. We'll ask him.
All right. Lent. We're basically in the middle of Lent.
Yeah, we are.
So let's go forward and accept all this grace that Christ wishes to pour into our hearts and souls. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.